الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وبعد. الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون، نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة، ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون، نزل من غفور رحيم. سبحانك بحمدك لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. It was only yesterday. It doesn't feel long since Ramadan has begun. Yet today is tonight is going to be the 25th night. Tonight will be the 25th night with less than a week to go left of Ramadan. And Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, one great scholar of the past, would mention that how can we not lament? I mean, how can we not be remorseful over the passing of Ramadan, as Ramadan is going to leave? Because Ramadan is that guest that you don't know if it's ever going to return. It's that beloved guest, and you don't know whether that beloved guest is ever going to return. And the question is, that the shortness and the passing of Ramadan, is it just a metaphor of life? I mean, just as Ramadan has passed extremely quickly, in this short period of time Ramadan has passed, is this going to be our entire life? Question that comes to our mind is, have I done enough? The purpose of Ramadan, as Allah mentioned, the fasting that's been prescribed upon us, Allah described it to us as لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that we gain taqwa. How much taqwa have we gained? During this month, how much anger did I exhibit? How much anger did I display? How much control did I have during this entire month? Arguments. When he came to my charity, when he came to my a'mal, when he came to performing my salah in the masjid, how much did I manage to do? This isn't to say that we become despondent. Rather, there's still less than a week left. There's still these precious hours remain. But how do we maximize these hours, these days that remain, to make sure that we're not as remorseful over the passing of Ramadan? We are naturally going to be remorseful. But how do we maximize these final few days to ensure that we can minimize this regret and this remorse? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa mentions in one narration, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. The actions are judged according to their endings. Their endings are defining. Yes, we can have a rocky start. We can have a difficult start. But if towards the end we try and compensate for it, it's not to say that that won't have an impact, of course it will. But the ending, if we try and compensate for it, there's a hope in the mercy of Allah that that will be compensatory, that will compensate for the slow beginning. Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah actually presents a good example. He said the racehorse, when it sees the end of the track, when it sees the end of the race, it exerts all efforts towards the end. Of course he's been trying, but at the end, when it sees the end in sight, it exerts all efforts. And he said, don't let that racehorse be smarter than you. It knows it's the end, it puts more effort in. For us, similarly, we know the end is coming. I know Eid is coming also, preparations are there. But minimizing those things, and remember that we are still in the month of Ramadan, it's only one month of the year. And we don't know whether we're going to see another. In fact, one scholar mentions, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, she writes, that what's defining isn't the faulty beginnings. The faulty beginnings aren't defining. Rather, it's the most excellent endings. The most excellent endings. So take it off cruise control, put the foot down, and try and exert ourselves in these final few days. So how do we, in these last few days, we've been through quite a few things during the month of Ramadan. We've been through the connecting with the Quran, the aspects of Ramadan, taqwa. But in this last week that we have, less than a week, what can we do within this time to conclude and bid Ramadan farewell? How can we do this? Number one, it's a believer's state. Number one, we fear that what we've done isn't enough. That's not to say that we become despondent, we lose all hope. That's not what it is. But it's the fear that what I've done isn't good enough. It's not good enough. And we know that. That who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, He is maximally perfect. I am deficient and I have not been able to fulfill that right. So recognizing that, again, we're not saying that we lose hope. A believer is in between two states, بين الرجاء والخوف, between hope and the mercy of Allah. He's hopeful that Allah will accept, but he's fearful that he's not done justice to the actions. In fact, Ali radiallahu anhu would mention that be more concerned with Allah's acceptance of a good deed than with the good deed itself. Be more concerned about the acceptance and the good deed itself. What does that do? It prevents ujub. It prevents conceit, meaning having this sense of self-amazement or pride that a person just thinks, I've done enough. And then he says that, have you not heard that Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ لَمُتَّقِينَ? Allah only accepts from those who have taqwa, meaning by a person who has taqwa will have ikhlas in his action. He will do it with sincerity. He'll understand that he's not been able to fulfill the right, so he'll do istighfar at the end. In fact, Allah mentioned in one verse, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبٌ وَجِلَةٌ. Those that give, they give their charity, whilst their hearts are fearful. So Aisha Allahu Anha, when she heard this, she said, O Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, does this refer to the person that commits adultery and the one who drinks alcohol, meaning the sinner? Rasulullah said, no. Rather, it refers to the one who fasts, gives charity, performs salah, whilst he fears that it's not being accepted. Meaning, he's recognizing the deficiency in his actions. It's not to say that it's not going to be accepted. We fulfill the rights, we have hope in the mercy of Allah, but we are also fearful that I've not done justice to this act and there are deficiencies in what I've done. Number two, so number one was about the fear of it not being accepted. Number two, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts our good deeds. Now imagine, Ibrahim alayhi salam has gone through struggle after struggle during his life. He's gone through struggle, sacrifice after sacrifice. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail are raising the foundations of the Kaaba. They are raising the foundations again of the Kaaba. And as they are doing this, they are making dua, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا O Allah, accept from us. So they were said to him, يَا خَلِيلَ الرَّحْمَانِ O friend of the All-Merciful, you were raising the foundations of the house of Allah and you were scared that it wasn't going to be accepted from you. This is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Meaning we continually seek acceptance from Allah. Tawfiq, acceptance from Allah. That this month we've had, this blessed month that we're still currently in, that Allah allows us to continue these acts after the month of Ramadan. We don't, again, alhamdulillah, Allah has granted us tawfiq during this month to do many, many acts that we wouldn't have done outside the month of Ramadan. We are grateful for that. But it's about asking Allah that He accepts. So the third part is that we thank Allah and we seek forgiveness to ensure that these continue after. Meaning we thank Allah that all that we've done, alhamdulillah, numerous actions that we've done, whether it's our zakah, whether it's our charity, whether it's our taraweeh, whether it's fajr in the masjid, isha in the masjid, we see that we've seen the masjid populated, whichever element it is. There's tawfiq that has been, additional tawfiq that has been granted during this month. So we are grateful to Allah for this. But we recognize our deficiency. Allah mentioned the Quran, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا We've been made weak. We know that. We've made mistakes. We've made plenty of mistakes during this month. We've not done what we're supposed to do. We know how many tahajjuds went by. How many times we raised our hands in dua. We know these things. So we recognize that. And Allah mentioned the Quran, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا We are weak. Insan is weak. And if we are weak, naturally what comes from us is going to be deficient. Naturally it's going to be deficient. So if it's deficient, how do we compensate for that deficiency? If there's a problem in something, how do you compensate for that problem? Allah has given us istighfar for this. And I want you to think, who was this dua that we have at the end of salah? رَبَّنِي ظُلَمْتُ نَفْسِي ظُلْمًا كَبِيرًا أَوْ ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ This dua, seeking forgiveness at the end of it, who was given this dua? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who's a sahabi that led during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahibul Hijrah, the one who traveled with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the one who was given this dua. The first Khalifa of Islam, he was given this dua of seeking forgiveness at the end of salah, of course, which is what we all recite at the end of salah. But he was the one who was given this dua. If Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was given that dua, what does that say for you and I? We can never stop seeking forgiveness. So number one was fear of our actions not being accepted. Number two, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts our good deeds. Number three, we thank Allah and seek forgiveness. Number four, part of being grateful is that a person, there are three elements to gratitude. One is that a person says, alhamdulillah, he's grateful to Allah with words. Number two, he makes an intention to utilize the gift in the right way. So this gift that you've been given, Ramadan, he intends that I'm going to continue this after the month of Ramadan, and the third part of it is that the person follows through. Now we can think to ourselves that all these a'mal that we are doing, we've got tonight's 25th night, possible Laylatul Qadr, many ulama were of the view that 25th could be Laylatul Qadr. These, maximizing on these, but recognizing that how do I continue these things after the month of Ramadan, whether that's through knowledge, whether that's through halaqah, whether that's through the remembrance, whether it's through our salahs in the masjid, whichever ways we make an intention to ensure that these actions continue after the month of Ramadan. On this point, I'll mention a final point. But the final thing, fifth point is sadaqatul fitr, or zakatul fitr. This needs to be given, meaning we need to give it before the end of Ramadan so that they receive it, the recipients receive it on Eid day. That's the purpose of it. What's sadaqatul fitr? What purpose does it serve? It serves as طُهْرَةً لِلصَّائِمِ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَثُ وَطُعْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ. That it compensates for the wrongdoings of this month. This futility, all these futile things that we've done during this month, صَدَقَةُ الْفِطْرِ compensates for that. That's number one. And number two, طُعْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ. That it's food, at least the poor individuals, because they're going to be the recipients of zakah, at least these poor individuals have one meal on Eid day to know they're going to receive. You and I, alhamdulillah, will have a three-course meal, if not four or five, on Eid day. How many desserts will be on our tables? But there are plenty of individuals that won't know where the next meal is coming from. So it serves two purposes. One, طُهْرَةً لِلصَّائِمِ, it's a purification for us, and to compensate for what we've done. And number two is food for the poor individuals on that day. May Allah grant us all true understanding and tawfiq. On that fourth point I mentioned of how do we continue these actions after the month of Ramadan, a form is going to be sent on the masjid group about what programs we want to see. I've put a whole list of programs there. We had one last year, implemented a couple of suggestions. But since Ramadan is ending, what do you want to see in the masjid? What programs do you want to see in the masjid? To see what we can accommodate and to ensure that this spirituality continues after the month of Ramadan. Knowledge is key. For us to be able to keep our iman afloat, we need to be empowered and articulate our beliefs. For us to understand what our religion demands of us, what it understands, how do we understand our faith? So empowerment through knowledge. But we're only going to get that if we have the programs. So the form downstairs, the QR code, scan that. It will be on the group. Also, it should not take more than a minute to fill out. Maybe 30 seconds to fill out. I ask all that they fill out the form. JazakAllah.